not just because you're here. Just because I feel like it ought to be, even if you weren't here. So this isn't going to change because you are. This is the way we're going to do it, in spite of the fact that you're here. If you've had a chance to see the back wall, we've gone through a process as a church family. Years ago, actually 10 years ago, we started with each one reach one because we thought we kind of lost our direction, lost our purpose, the reason for being, so to speak. So this morning I'd like to stand in front of those banners, those yearly themes that we've had. And this might be an uncomfortable service for you. Because sometimes church is nothing more than attending. We're going to show up. They're going to check me off. I'm here. And I'm going to check out when I get in. That's sometimes what happens in church. To pastors too. And everybody else involved in church. We go through the motions. And a lot of things in life, don't we? Except when you're a parent with a two-year-old. You can't go through the motions then, because it's in your face all the time. So what I'd like to do today is I'd like to start by saying, open your Bible anywhere. Open your Bible anywhere. Now, why would I say that? Y'all know that in the beginning was the... Okay, so now we can all relate. God was the Word. And because God was the Word, He gave us the opportunity to use words for each other. So He has given us not only Himself for redemption and salvation and sanctification, but He's given us His Word. He's given us His Word for direction and guidance and comfort and peace and the manual that we need to get through life. And yet, this book, this precious word, has lost its appeal. Because strategically and intentionally, the devil has tried to make everything else more attractive. Signs, advertisements, billboards, pop-ups on our phone, our computer. It never stops. We are bombarded continually with distractions to allure us, not necessarily over the falls, but just a little bit here and a little bit there. So that it becomes routine. Now, obviously, you're all uncomfortable because you've come to another place. And I applaud you for doing that. I do. But sometimes, I believe coming to church, coming in front of God's Word, ought to bring us to a place of conviction as well, or perhaps being uncomfortable, or perhaps getting up from a place that you're used to and going to a place that's unfamiliar. This is unfamiliar. So, why are you here? Why do we go to church? I mean, as I was doing my devotions this morning and getting alone before the Lord, I thought of that, and I couldn't get beyond that. My sermon notes are all there. But why are we here? Say what? To praise God. We're here to worship. So if you're not here, your worship is not collective. Your worship isn't corporate. Your worship is private. There's nothing wrong with that. We all have private worship. Sometimes we have private meals. But I guarantee you, the most memorable meals you have are not the ones when you sit there at Subway all by yourself. Right? The most memorable meals you have is with family. Thanksgiving, whatever it is, grandma and grandpa opened up the farmhouse and, you know, there's 45 people there. Oh, no problem, bring them all in. Why is that so memorable? Why would something like that be so memorable? Anybody? It's people you love. Steve, you had your hand up. No? There's interaction. Yeah. Edie? We have Christ in common, but not everybody. Not everybody in that family reunion Thanksgiving meal knows the Lord. Why else is such a meal of such size and such magnitude memorable? It doesn't happen all the time. It's infrequent. Could we say the word rare? It's rare. So you can remember something like that better. I mean, I remember meals at our house when all the family's there better than when I'm sitting with my wife having a bowl of salad. Both are just as nutritious. Both are meaningful. But they might not necessarily be as memorable. Do you know what I mean? Okay. The whole purpose of what we're doing this morning is, again, I had no idea you were coming, but we're doing church. And I'm wondering why we do church. I mean, I've been doing church almost 40 years now. It'll be November 11th, 1983, when I got saved. So, for some, your experience with church is not as long. For some, you've been in church since you were in the nursery. But either way, as we're talking about a memorable meal with family, there are probably also memorable events that you could think of. Places, people, trips that you've been on, experiences that you've had that were very memorable. And we could all raise our hand and we could all talk about a cruise, or we could talk about a time in the military, we could talk about whatever it might be that holds a dear place in your heart as one of those mountaintop experiences for your lifetime. So as I was praying this morning, I came to tears. I cried. Because I was reading my Bible, of all things. I was reading my Bible. Pastors are supposed to do that. And I came across a passage of scripture that made me cry. Jeremiah 8, verse 20 says, "The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved." March 28th, 2004, I was in Windsor, Colorado. Windsor, Colorado is about an hour north of Denver. I was there for a mission conference. Our family had surrendered to go to Botswana as missionaries. So I was invited to go to this local church in March in Colorado, 6,000 feet up in the air. And the guest speaker was an 85-year-old World War II veteran. His name was Claude Craven. This was his last sermon. And there I was this morning, unprepared. I was unprepared. Now, I read my through every year, so it's not like I didn't know it was there. I just wasn't ready for it. You know what I mean? Some of you are already connecting. Some of you are saying, what did I come here for? That's the whole point of what we're trying to do this morning. Why did we come here? We came here to have an encounter with God. But sometimes that doesn't happen. Many times that doesn't happen. So I want to try to explore why it doesn't. So here I was, unsuspecting, doing my routine, as most of us do on Sunday, if you're in that routine of going to church. So I'm in my Bible, I'm reading my thing as I'm doing my chronological reading of the scriptures. Has nothing to do with my sermon, but yet my chronological reading brings all my sermons out. Does that make sense? So as the pastor is going through the Word of God, the Spirit of God is directing the pastor for what the pastor needs to feed the people of God. So we're all doing this together, so to speak. And unsuspecting, I came, and I haven't even finished my Bible reading for this morning yet, so I just want to let you know. I was stopped right there that I just couldn't go any further. And I forgot the date. I forgot the name of the town. I went on my laptop, on my spreadsheet, on my missions spreadsheet, to say, what was that church again in Colorado that I went to? March 28th, 2004. And it brought me back there. Why did it bring me back there? Because it was such a mountaintop experience. I've never been to Colorado before. Had a wonderful experience going to the, I mean, you're already 6,000 feet, but they took us up there where the snow caps were for a little visit. It was March. So we went up there, 12, 13, 14,000 feet, where the snow banks were as tall as this building. It was memorable. It was memorable. But why did I get emotional? I got emotional because of the passage. The passage of Scripture brought me back to that moment. Does that happen to you? Does the Word of God do that to you? If it doesn't, it ought to. This isn't the problem, right? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's nothing wrong with the book. God made sure that he would inspire it, preserve it, take care of it, so that we could have flash mob moments with the book. I mean, we enjoy that. I didn't even know what one of those were until a couple months ago where my wife showed me one. I don't know where it was. It doesn't matter. If you've never seen a flash mob on YouTube or anything like that, you have no idea what we're talking about, and you will. Because somebody's going to show you and say, how did that all happen? Well, it was all choreographed, silly. You just didn't know it. All those people that came out of the mall, that was all planned. Yeah. In the book of Hebrews, it says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Right? Okay, so we're in church this morning. Why? One at a time. To get closer to God. Wait. If that hasn't happened before you came here, is it going to happen when you get here? Think that through, Charlene. Right. So we need to get closer to God personally. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we are to come to him as well as join together. Why are we here again? Who else? To worship God. But again, if you're not doing that privately, it's going to be hard corporately. Now, I understand that we all go through phases, seasons. And sometimes those seasons of life, Christian life, I don't want to say prevent us from experiencing the joy of the Lord. Sometimes we need to be carried on a stretcher, spiritually. Sometimes you come to church, the church doesn't know, but you need to be carried piggyback, spiritually speaking. And you know it. You come to church and you know you can't sing. Because the season of life you're in, you're broken. But you come here because you know this is God's hospital. You know the people of God love you, support you, will carry you. They will grab that stretcher for as long as you need it. But if they're your church family and they know you, they'll take you aside and say, it's time. Maybe you've had a bad diagnosis. Maybe you've had a crisis in your family. Maybe you've buried a loved one. The list goes on. The things we go through as believers in Christ. You've been betrayed. Whatever the story is, we all have our stories. And sometimes we need to be carried by God's people. So we come to worship, but we can't. Because the words can't come out. That's okay. God's not listening to your words. What's God listening to? He's listening to your heart. Why else do we come to church? Dan? What did you say? Food. We as Baptists love to eat. You Methodists probably do the same. They like their food. But we're talking about spiritual nourishment, of course. Why else do we go to church? Victor? That's my punchline. He must have read my script. Isn't it just wrong when people say, you missed it? And they just, right, they just turn the knife. You mean you didn't go to the greatest comeback in Buffalo Bills history? Where were you? I left. Thought half the stadium left. So I joined them. Idiot. Now again, I'm in Windsor, Colorado, 19 years ago, having an incredible experience at this church, this particular evangelist, praying that God would get my family and I to the mission field of Africa. And I had a brought back moment. Have you ever had one of those? Have you ever had an anniversary? Sure, you've had an anniversary. Anniversaries are bring back moments. You're supposed to remember what it was like back then. That's why we have anniversaries. Right, guys? Yeah. Yes. You better say yes. Well, let's kind of hold that one for a little bit. Why else do we go to church? Yes, worship, praise, Dave? Just out of habit. Hold on. I want to hang there for a minute. Just out of habit. Do you eat out of habit? We could get more scientific. We could say we eat because we're hungry. Some people do. Some people eat for other reasons. We won't name all those reasons. But there are things we do habitually, whether it's personal hygiene, routines for bed, whatever it happens to be. And if you think you don't know what your habits are, your pets know your habits. Don't they? I mean, they know what time of day you're getting up. And if you're not, the cat's scratching your nose. It's time to get up. Habits. Habits. They're not all bad. And some people say, I'm not going to church. Well, why not? I don't feel like it. Well, go anyway. Well, that's wrong. Well, it's not wrong to do right. Well, I don't feel like... Get into these circular arguments with yourself. Well, I'm not going to go there and be a hypocrite. Oh, so you're going to be angry with God and not go. So you're going to be angry and not go, as opposed to being a hypocrite and not going. So we all have these justification lists. I'm not going. Okay, then don't. Be miserable all by yourself. It's a habit. Why do you read your Bible? For some people, it's a habit. Why else do we go to church? Robina? Robina's from Rwanda. This is her family. Church could be your family if you so choose. It's not forced upon you like that other family is. Right? We're all forced into that family. We had no decision on that whatsoever. But this family is all about choice. It's all about your willingness to choose to be a part of it or not. And let's park there just for a minute, because if we are Rubina's family, and if her six little munchkins are part of our family, when she doesn't come, part of us is missing. The body principle. Whether she's our thumb, whether she's our big toe, whether she's our ear, the body part is gone for other, for a lot of reasons. Well, I got other things to do. Oh, that's what your spleen says, or your pancreas says. Oh, I got other things to do. Would you just leave me alone? Can't you see I'm busy? No, that would be ludicrous. That would be ridiculous. Why else do we go to church? Steve?
Hear the word of God proclaimed.
To hear the word of God proclaimed. I've challenged our church people, challenged myself, that because the devil wants to remove the word of God from our lives, it's always a good idea to write in the margin of your Bible dates, places, times, so that you don't forget. This is a brand new Bible, less than a year old, so I'm starting from scratch. But it says here on the bottom, 32804, Windsor, Colorado, Mission Conference, guest speaker, Claude Craven. Now that's in my old Bible. Why did I write that there for that verse? To be reminded. So I could go to that verse, which I did this morning, and read that verse, and that entire sermon, that entire experience comes back. The food was good, the fellowship was good. Obviously, the place we were at was gorgeous. But you know what I remember the most? The sermon. the sermon. That's what I wrote down, the date of the sermon, the place in the Bible where it was found. Are there dates in your Bible? Maybe the day you got married, maybe the day your son was born, etc., where you mark your Bible so it becomes a family heirloom.
So you don't forget your anniversary, too.
I saw his wife kick him on the feet. So you don't forget your anniversary. So we can hear the Word of God preached. Jesus said, regarding John the Baptist, who was, I often call him, the first herald. He was the first proclaimer. He was the first trumpet to a nation that hadn't heard from God for 400 years. So John the Baptist is out there proclaiming Christ, the first coming. We are proclaimers of his second coming. We are just like John the Baptist, but we're on the other side. So Jesus said to the crowd, "What came you out to see?" Let me ask you the same question. So when you come to church, what is it? Not why. We've talked about the why. What are you here for? Sorry. That was too loud for me not to hear. And don't say it in Spanish. I know you do. To charge my spiritual batteries. I think every Sunday you say the same thing to me after service. Every Sunday, Pastor, I've been charged. I've been moved. What do you come for?
Grace.
Only one at a time, or it's just going to turn into a casserole. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to mix it all together. Grace. Do you come for grace? The body principle is only possible through grace. There's no place on earth where male and female, Jew and Gentile, Arab and Jew can fellowship together. Other than the church. In 1995, I was in Jerusalem. I was at a Christian church. And I was reminded by the Lebanese, by the Syrians, by the Bedouins, by the Jews, by the Arabs, this is the only place on earth where this happens. And it only happens because of grace. Grace destroys prejudice. Grace removes racism. Grace removes color. Grace removes all of these crazy things that we're going through as a culture. Okay, what else do we come to church for? Laura? To take something home that God challenges you with. I wrote down that challenge. That was 19 years ago. In other words, then, you are expecting something. You're expecting God to do something. Do we come to church with that expectation? That we're expecting God to do something? Or do we come to church to fill our seat You know the seat that has our name on it. Sheer family, father, mother. We're expecting God to do something. Yes. But y'all know their qualifications for that. So let me get personal, if I can. Do we have that roving mic? Stephen, would you grab them? Or Jason, do you have it? Podium. That's right. I'll just throw it at somebody. That's not it. That's all good. You can be the rover. Proverbs has a verse that is very important. So I'm going to ask you to give a testimony about what God has done in you within the last month, the last 2 months, the last 3 months, that would be right up there with the best Thanksgiving meal that you've had with family. So we're talking about something that's memorable. In Proverbs chapter 27, it reminds us that our witness and our testimony and what we say only has influence, only has power, only has eternal value when you are transparent, when you are see-through. Proverbs 27 says in verse number 19, as in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. In other words, when you are real, when you're real, people know it. I often make this distinction between pets and kids. Those are the two groups of people on the earth you can't fool. You can't fool the dog. I call it the sniff test. So if you meet a dog for the first time, they size you up, right? They size you up. Are you friend or foe? A little kid. They size you up. Can I trust that person? I don't know if I like that person. Dogs and kids. But yet, we hide because we're in pain. We hide because we're ashamed. We hide because we're guilty. We hide, and you just fill in all the words. All the reasons why we can't tell our wife or our kids or our church members how we really feel. Because in America, when Robina says to an American, how are you doing? She expects you to talk to her like you're African. Like you're actually going to tell her the truth. Instead of just being American and say, oh, I'm fine, how are you? That's just how we say hello. We don't really mean to say that to somebody. Oh, hi, how are you? In fact, we don't even have time to hear your answer. We don't care to know your answer. That's just the way we say hello. That's just the way we say hi. And that's just the way we do church. Hi, how are you? Good, how are you? I'm not doing good at all, actually. I'm just looking for somebody to talk to. Is there anybody here who cares? Is there anybody that I could talk to? Is there? In the church family, you ought to be able to call anybody at any time. But I know we have to work up that trust factor. We have to fill the pool with enough trust for me to call Jose, or for me to call Jason, or for me to call Jeff. The bank account has to be full enough for me to trust you. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. That's not a requirement. So tell me when God made a memory in church in your life in the last 3 months. I need a microphone. Sandy, hold on. God made a memory in church or in his word. Sandy?
There's a verse in the Bible.
You have to be done by noon.
Just
kidding.
I know I like to talk.
I admit it. But you don't do it often.
That's too much.
Not so good. Go ahead.
Well, at times.
Give us your testimony.
Okay. There's a verse in the Bible. I don't know where it's found. I'm better at memorizing verses than I am the references.
Yeah.
So in the Bible it says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength, for my strength is made perfect in the time of weakness." Mm-hmm. There's been times I've been to rock bottom. And when I get those times, you know, we all do in our lives, you find out, you know, that's life, you know, and the natural. And when we get discouraged, I come to church to be encouraged. I come to church to receive joy and more strength in the Lord.
Yes.
For the joy of the Lord is my strength
daily.
And, you know, it's just so wonderful. I feel so happy when I come to church. I go home and sometimes I break out and sing songs by myself at home. No one hears me, the Lord does, but nobody else does. I try to keep it in a minimum because I live in a building, you know, with other people. But God has been so good to me. Oh, I could go on and on. I can't now. But I tell you what God has done for me. I could never forget him. I could never forget to come to church. And coming to church just, it makes my day. That's the bottom line.
Yes. Amen. Jason's going to get your microphone. Sandy, I'm going to give you a P for pass. That passes. I can say that to Sandy because she'll understand. What I'm trying to say is, I don't want a historical testimony. We all have historical testimonies. And some of us are riding the wave. I grew up on Long Island, so I remember surfers. And they ride the wave. Some of us are riding the wave. And we haven't had an encounter with God, a personal encounter with God, for a while. That's what I'm looking for right now. Because isn't that what we came here for? A personal encounter with God. It's not God's fault that we haven't had one. It's our fault. And there are a lot of reasons why. I know it's easier to come to church, be preached at, you know, get your invitation song out of the way, leave and go eat lunch. I get it. Get it. I've been in church 39 plus years. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about a time in church where you can't get up out of your chair. The sermon is over. The invitation song is sung. Everybody's gone. And you haven't moved. Why haven't you moved? Because God did. Because God did. That's what I'm looking for. Is that an uncomfortable moment? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like coming to another church you've never been to in your life. Flying to Africa. Going to Colorado. Getting out of our comfort zone is just that. Getting out of our comfort zone. Going to Albany for a funeral, a memorial service. Meeting family that you've never met before. In their grief, in their sorrow, in their crisis. To say, Lord, help me just to encourage. So I said to the Lord today, as the cat was walking on top of me when I'm praying, the more you ignore cats, the more they love you. I don't understand cats. So I'm praying and saying, Lord, what should we do at church today? Pastors usually ask that question quite a bit. What should I do at church today? And he said, kinda, well, what have I done there recently? And I couldn't answer him. I can't answer him for you. But maybe you could answer your church family or the body of Christ with an encouragement. What has God done in you in church recently? Now, you don't have to talk because there's silence. I'm not asking you to talk to fill the void. But I am asking you, as Proverbs chapter 27 says, to be transparent. Have you met with God? Has God met with you? Jason, would you bring that microphone right over to Zoraida? I know she has something to say. You next.
He has brought me to my knees. He has covered me with his strength. In various times in my life that I've come through difficult moments that I thought I could not survive, when I thought that my life or my family would be destroyed. In some way, God came and revealed himself and showed me that his path is not as difficult as I thought it would be. He opened doors, he opened walkways, and he said, walk through with me. I'm there, I never left you, and I never will. And because of that, through the tragedies that we've gone through as a family, and Edith knows, his strength has been the only thing that I can hang on to and always will hang on to, his wisdom, his humility, and his love, and above everything else, his peace. Because there is nothing greater than what he has to offer from this life that he's given us. Because this world can never give us what he's given us. And I praise him for that, and I thank him for it. And even in the midst of the loss of our brother, he gives us peace. The tears that I have are because I miss him. But he made us human. Jesus was human. And he knew what it was to weep and to sorrow. But there is joy that comes in the morning. And joy that continues to uplift us and give us the strength to be able to say that I live and serve a risen Savior. A man who is alive, who sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And that someday we will all be together. And I thank him for that.
Amen. Jay, would you give that microphone to Edie? Sarita and Edie are sisters. Their brother just passed away in Albany a couple weeks ago. Memorial service was last Saturday.
I was going to say she's my sister, but I think the crying kind of lets you know who we are. God has been, even right now, he just has done, when we got the news and we were talking on the phone, I'm not going to lie, I became almost hysterical. But I'll tell you why. We've been praying for my brother for years to accept the Lord and be saved. I've been saved since 1979. Since then, I've been praying for him and Sarita as well. Our mother got saved, our father got saved. But he wouldn't. He dug his heels in the ground. So when I got the news, all I thought was my brother, who I was so close to, is now in the pit of hell because he wouldn't accept Christ. And I hurt because of that. If he had died in Christ, it would have been so much easier. But to know that my brother was in the pit of hell because he didn't accept Christ, I asked God to just help me through this because I had never experienced a family member or our family has gotten saved throughout the years. If it wasn't for this church, for them praying to God for his salvation, I think that I probably would have just left it there. But then one person after another started to say to me, something happened to your brother. He wasn't the same. He came in June for his last visit. We became his last visit. And he was a different man, I got to tell you. I said, my whole family was like, he's not the same person. And then I started thinking after, Lord, what are you doing? I mean, I don't want to say, oh, my brother was saved, just to console my heart. Because sometimes we do that. I know that would have been very easy for me to do, to say, well, maybe he did in his last breath just accept the Lord, and then I will feel better. That's not what I wanted. This church has prayed so long, and I've never had a pastor. Pastor, what you did to drive that far to be with us, never. I've had good pastors that prayed and have been with us by our side. But when I turned that corner and I saw him walk in with his wife, I said, Lord, you're doing something. And person after person, prayer after prayer, everyone reached out to me in one way or another. And even right now, today, God has outstretched his hand to say, this is what I've been doing, and this is what you need to trust. I was talking to Laura earlier today, and she said, isn't it like God just rubbing your heart? And I said, my goodness, yes. That's exactly what he's doing, giving me my answers that God did something in my brother because of the prayers of the saints, not just here, but our family who saved and friends who were saved, but that's my what. I serve a God and been serving a God who has shown up for me day after day, Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, at personal time at home, in his word. My what? My what is that God doesn't fail. There's not a time that I don't come here after reading my Bible during the week, and God says, hey, remember what you read? There you go. It's confirmation. And there are times I'm back there translating, and I just want to run out here and get to the altar and pray. But I'm translating, so I have to kind of hold my knees down. But I'm back there just praising God, and that's my what. It's God. He's been my foundation, my refuge, my buckler. When I can't stand, who is my what? God is, because it's in those difficult times that he's just there. He's never, there's never a moment that he's not there. And it's just amazing to not be here. Charlene has been a witness to me in so many ways. If I'm not here, I'm afraid that I'm going to miss something that God has for me. Why am I here? That's why. I don't want to miss what God has for me. And my sorrow, our sorrow, is temporary because, yes, we miss him. But I have peace. I have peace. Today, God really confirmed it like no other day. Today was the day. He's given me little bits and pieces, but today was like, let's just ice this cake and get it over with. This is my what. It's God. And it's what Jesus Christ died on that cross for, because I have nothing to worry about anymore. I have peace in Christ.
Amen. So your breakfast might be oatmeal. You might do toast and eggs. You might have a very boring menu. But you're here, you're healthy. Every once in a while, you go out when your husband takes you. And you might go out and make a memory. Edie said something that I think ought to be in the heart of every Christian. I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss. I don't know how long you were lost, how long you were away from God, whether presently or historically, but 28 years away from God is a long time. And when I got saved, it was technicolor, right like that. And quite frankly, call me legalistic, I like being in church. Because I don't want to miss out. It might be oatmeal, that service. You're still fed. Big, fat, and happy. You're still fed. And then, as God sees your willingness, your faithfulness, then God speaks. Calls a pastor into the ministry. Calls a family to go to Africa as missionaries. Pastor, you really believe that? Calls a church member to serve, to be faithful, to encourage the body of Christ. I wouldn't miss that for the world. Oh, I miss the Bills when they, who cares? Oh, really? In eternity, who cares? Who cares? But for you to tell your grandkids with a sparkle in your eye as tears come down your face, when you tell your grandchild how God called you to be a pastor, Papa, why do you pastor the church? Is that your job? No. Sinning was my job. For 28 years, I was a professional sinner. God had a different plan. And surely God has a plan for you. It might not be Africa. It might not be Buffalo. Trust me, Buffalo wasn't the first place on my radar. I was willing to go all the way to Africa and miss Buffalo if I could. But God said, I heard that. I heard that under your breath. There used to be a church hymn, please don't send me to Africa. If you're old enough, you might know that missionary song. So God sent me to Buffalo instead. He has a warped sense of humor, doesn't he? Where's God sending you? Where's God sending you? You're invited at the end of the month of November, the weekend before Thanksgiving, we transformed this sanctuary into a shop. We put together 15,000 Johns and Romans, those little booklets on the round table. You're more than welcome to join us. It's one of the greatest things we do as a church. We sit, we visit, we put scriptures together to go around the world. What's better than that? And if you get bored doing that, you can help us assemble 100 boxes to go to kids around the world for Operation Christmas Child. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? This is not what I thought church would be when I woke up this morning. And you're probably saying the exact same thing. I'm glad you're here. God is glad you're here. And I hope maybe we reclarified church a little bit and the body of Christ a little bit. Thank you, Pastor, for being sensitive. Thank you, church, for coming and being with us. We have a video I want to show because I want to be up to date. It's about the Middle East. It's rated G, so you should be okay. Dave, Eric.